I want to mention, or read rather, an Old Testament story that's up there. And I apologize, this is a little bit new technology, and Jim has let me borrow his iPad this weekend. And some of the stuff doesn't always transfer. And so I noticed that on here, the font may be a little small on some of the slides. So you bear with me on that. But in 2 Samuel chapter 13, and before we pray, I'd like to read this passage. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" And Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister." So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." And David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me," and they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? As for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Now, of course, this can be a very uncomfortable story to read. I always thought that if the Bible were made into a movie, it certainly wouldn't be rated PG or even R in some cases. The Bible is very clear. The Bible is very plain. And the Bible sometimes gives us information that is hard to read and hard to even comprehend. But here we find a very sad situation that occurred in the life of David's son, Amnon. And the reason he had such a terrible thing happen, and we'll see later exactly what I mean by that, is because of a choice that he made, because of a friend that he had. And I want to talk to you about Amnon having a friend like Jonadab. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, we are introduced to a man named Amnon. And Amnon, of course, was the son of David. David was the king of Israel. And not only was Amnon the son of David, but he was the firstborn son of David. That being the case, of course, Amnon had everything that a man's heart might desire. Not only did he have that at his disposal, but he had a bright future because in all appearances, Amnon was in line to be the future king. He was the son of a king, the firstborn son of a king, and so he, no doubt, was in line to be the king himself. And even though he started off being a wonderful prospect, the Bible says he had something that entered into his life that changed everything. In spite of the future that he had, but it says. And a lot of times we find that is the case with various characters the Bible describes, such as Naaman, who was the captain of the army of the king of Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Amnon was the son of a king. He was in all appearances the future king, but Amnon had a friend. And in this chapter, we learn that his friend's name was Jonadab, and the Bible describes Jonadab this way. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. The New King James says that he was a very crafty man. Now, what I think about when I hear that description is way back there in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And the devil appeared unto Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent, or Eve at least. And the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Do you know what that means? We understand that when we talk about how the devil is, he is very sneaky. He is very deceiving. He is cunning. He is sly. He is crafty. Now, in the life of Amnon, he's got a friend named Jonadab who is described as being a very subtle person. He is described in the very same way the devil is described in Genesis 3. And so if you can imagine Amnon wanting to have this unnatural, ungodly relationship with his own half-sister. And so much so that he understands that it's wrong and he's making himself sick. And he doesn't really know what to do. But he's got a friend that comes to him and he wants to know what's wrong. And Amnon explains. And so his friend begins to tell Amnon what he needs to do. Jonadab says, Amnon, I'll tell you what. Why don't you lay down on your bed and pretend to be sick? And when your father, the king, comes, you tell him that what you need is your sister to come bake some food for you. And then when she does that, then you'll have an opportunity to get what you want. And so he does. Amnon is laying down pathetically on the bed. His father sees him, and he asks what he can do to help. And he expresses, I need my sister to bake me some food. And so she does. And the Bible says that when this happened, of course, he dismisses everyone from the room. He says, bring the food into the bedroom, and then he dismisses everyone from the room, and then he forces her and lays with her, and he commits this ungodly, sexual, immoral act upon his own sister, and of course it brings shame upon not only Tamar, but upon the family of David himself. And I didn't read this, but if you read further on in the story, it says something very revealing. After he did this, the Bible says that Amnon hated her with a hatred that was greater than the love with which he had loved her. Now, I find that interesting because that is really revealing about the nature of sin. We see something we want and we've got to have it. And once we get it, we realize, you know, it wasn't as good as we thought it was. In fact, the more with sin, the more you get what you want, the less you want what you get. But it was too late. After he committed this great crime and this terrible sin, he brought shame upon the family of David. He affected the innocent. And of course, he is going to forever live with this, and it's going to destroy his reputation and eventually end his own life, all because Amnon had a friend like Jonadab. And there are four lessons we can learn, and this lesson will be yours. When it comes to friendship and this relationship with Jonadab, that I think all, young and old, really, can learn some very important things. First of all, when it comes to our friends, we learn from Jonadab that your friends can either make you or break you. That's a little small, but that's what it says.
Your friends can either make you better or they can break you down and make you worse. Friends are probably one of the greatest blessings besides, of course, the family and the church. God has given companionship and friendship as a wonderful thing, as a wonderful gift. And, of course, having a friend to talk to share your joys with and your sorrows with, can encourage you, to support you, to help you through difficult times. That can truly be one of life's greatest blessings. But if you've got the wrong kind of friend, it can be a curse. Sometimes a friend can be your worst enemy. In fact, there are many people who start off in life with a great future, bright prospects and potential, but they've fallen into a pitfall because of somebody they thought to be their friend was really not. We can visit any prison in this country, doesn't matter which one you go to, any county jail in this country, and any city, and you can talk to people while they're there, and the majority will tell you they've committed a crime, they've broken the law, but the reason they've done that was because of a friend they had. I was once doing a study in a county jail once or twice a week when I was living up in Oklahoma, and I was studying with a young man that had got involved in drugs. And Timothy was his name. I was put in contact with Tim because of his grandmother. I was door knocking, and she told me about her grandson that was in jail, and I went and visited with him and studied with him, and we had an ongoing study for weeks. And one day I just sat down and we were talking, and I said, Tim, let me ask you, as you reflect upon where you are and why you're here and how you got here, what do you think was the deciding factor in your life that would cause you to go? Now, his grandmother was actually a member of the Church of Christ. And so he had all of the information. He had the support there in some degree. But what was the deciding factor that would lead him down that path as opposed to the other? And without any hesitation, he said, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Somebody who can start off so good can end so bad, all because of one or two people in their life telling them what to do, and they follow that advice. People who are destroyed physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, who didn't have to be because of someone in their life who led them astray. I can show you people whose minds are warped and they will never be the same. They're almost like an animal in a cage. They can't think. They can't show any responsibility. They've been addicted to drugs or alcohol. And it all started many times because of what they called a friend relationship. Approximately 92% of high school seniors admit to having tried alcohol or other drugs. Many of them took their first drink by the age of 12. There are 13 and 14-year-olds who are alcoholics. Each year, more than 10,000 people ages 16 to 25 die because of choosing to drink. And half of those deaths were related to car accidents resulting from drunk driving. Listen to this stat. During a typical weekend, an average of one teenager dies every hour in a car crash, 50% of which were involved in alcohol. And those facts are the result many times of peer drinking or peer pressure. If there's someone that tries to get you to go out and experiment with something, you may have never tried it once, you may have ever tried it before, but yet this person comes to you and say, hey, you need to try, everybody's doing this, and you need to try it at least one time. You remember one thing. That person is like the friend that Amnon had, who's trying to get you to do something that will not only bring disgrace to your body, but to your family and to the name of God. And somebody like that is not your friend. We can go into a funeral home where some young person who died way too early because they were out with their friends, they were out having a good time, and maybe they weren't even drinking, but they were associating with people who were, and many times the innocent are taken And we can see these funeral homes packed with mourners trying to understand how and why could this happen. I'll tell you how it happens. Because your friends can make you or they can break you. And if you've got a friend like that, he'll break you every time. The sad reality is that many people will allow peer pressure to dictate what they do instead of what they've been taught. And therefore, of course, we need to choose our friends who are going to help us and encourage us to do the right thing. But if Amnon had a friend who told him, as the king's son, that you need to think of the future, not the moment, things would have turned out different. If Amnon had surrounded himself with people who were more concerned about God than greed and about self, things would have been different. If Amnon's friend had thought about sin's lasting price more than sin's fleeting pleasure, things would have been different. But Amnon had a friend that couldn't see past the pleasure to know the pain. And as a result, he got what he loved, but he hated what he got. And that's not only true with young people. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. If you've got somebody in your life that tries to plant in your mind, you don't need to be dedicated. You don't need to be committed. You don't need to worship God. You don't need to put God first. Or you don't need to be pure in your life. You don't need to follow all of those commandments, all of those rules, that you don't need to worry about honesty, that it's all right to do what you want as long as you want, regardless of the consequences or who it's hurt. Well, you've got the wrong kind of friend. Now, that's the negative side. There's a positive side. And that is, the right kind of friend can make you and build you up. The wise man said, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And you can get a pretty good idea what kind of future, what kind of person somebody's going to turn out to be by looking at the kind of people they choose to surround themselves with. And that leads us to the second lesson we can learn from Jonadab. And that is, you become like your friends. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people say, now I've got these people and they're my friends, but I'm not like them. I'm not even the least bit like them. Well, that might be so, but in time you will become like them. Now, that's what the Bible says over here in 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says, be not deceived. And anytime you find that phrase, there should be a red flag that pops up, because it implies that you can be deceived. Be not deceived. What's the point here? Evil communications corrupt good manners. The New American Standard says, bad company corrupts good morals. What that simply means is, you become like your friends. If you associate with them long enough, one of two things will happen. You will either separate yourself from them because you don't have anything in common, or you will eventually become more like them. Solomon wrote a book in the Old Testament. He wrote a couple of books, but one he wrote to young people, the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs, he tells young people three things. He says, first of all, you need to listen to your parents, to keep yourselves pure, and thirdly, to be careful who your friends are, because you become like them. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 through 25, he says, make no friends with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You know what he's saying? You associate with people who have a certain temperament, you're going to be that way. You associate with people who have a certain character, you're going to have that character. Don't be with them if you don't want to become like them, because that's exactly the nature of the beast. In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, it says, he that walketh with the wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. When you look at Jonadab, you will notice that Amnon became just like him. Jonadab was described as a crafty man. He was a sneaky deceiver. What did Amnon become? A sneaky deceiver, a liar, and someone who became just as cunning and crafty as his friend Jonadab. Also, when it comes to that line of thinking, not only will you become like your friends, you'll be judged to be like your friends. You may say, well, I'm not like them, but other people will judge you to be like them. Now, whether we like that or not, that's the way it is. People will associate us with the people we associate with. You ever heard the statement, birds of a feather flock together? Why is that? Because we understand that we, and just like animals, we like to associate with people that we have things in common with. And if you don't have things in common with those people in the world, then why are you with them? And if you are associating with them long enough, you'll become like them. You become like them, and you are judged to be like them if you're not. You ever heard of guilty by association? If I even if I'm not guilty of a crime, if I'm with people who are, I'm going to be guilty. I'm going to be judged guilty by association. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're to walk around with our noses in the air and act like we're so much better than everybody else and not to have any friends that are not in the church. I understand that there's a certain degree that we have to be. We have to have friends who are not in the church from time to time, but there's a big difference between being associates and being best friends forever with people. And we need to make sure who our bosom buddies are someone that we want to be like and someone that we want to be judged to be with on in a way that is not going to be shame or bring shame upon us or our family. And that leads us to the third point. Let me hasten back here. The third point is that your friends impact not only you, but your family. You know, sometimes people will say, you know, this is my life, it's my business, and it's not going to affect anybody but me. The decisions that you make certainly do affect you, but the decisions you make certainly affect other people besides you. When you go out into the world and you carry with you your family name, you represent your family. What you do reflects on them, and what you do affects them. I'm acquainted with a family, a very nice family. They had three kids, and they were all very interested in serving the Lord. And we've known them for about 20 years. And when we first met them, we found their home to be full of joy and laughter and the children with bright futures. But I went back a few years ago, and the oldest daughter got messed up with a boy that took her away from the family, away from the church, and really away from God. And I'll never forget sitting in the living room talking to the mom and dad whose heart was just broken, but also the brother and sister, little brother and little sister, who were then young teenagers as well. But the little sister said to me, you know, it feels like a tornado just blew through our house, and here we're left alone to pick up the pieces. And she's gone and doesn't even realize all of the damage she's caused. Well, when you choose your friends, you need to think about how this person is going to affect the relationship with your family. Some of you have younger brothers and sisters. You need to think about, how is this person not only going to affect me, but how are they going to affect little brother, little sister? Because those little siblings look up to you, and you're influencing them. And this incident started with Jonadab and Amnon's friendship, but directly impacted his sister, his brother, and it broke the heart of his father. And yes, your friends are your business, but there are more people that are affected by your business than you. And last of all, and I appreciate your patience, The fourth thing, that we can learn is that some friends will get you into trouble and they'll leave you there. Where was Jonadab when Amnon really needed him? Now, Jonadab was there, and he was quick to give him advice. He said, I'll tell you what you do, Amnon. You lay down and you pretend to be sick, and then everything, you get what you want, and everything will be just fine. And Amnon did it, and he didn't realize everything that was going to come with that. He got what he wanted, And then something began to set into motion. Listen, the Bible says, but when David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spoke unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon. His own brother now despises the ground that he walks on because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Now Absalom is going to kill his own brother. But where's Jonadab? He wasn't there. Where's his friend now? He left them alone. And he let him die. He wasn't there to say, hey, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to protect you from your family. I know they're mad at you. I'm going to defend you. He's not there. He's not there at all. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people will tell you at school, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to try this. Hey, you need to get involved in this, and you need to do all these things. They've got great ideas, but how many times will they be there when the trouble comes, when the clouds hover and the rains fall? In Luke chapter 15, Jesus taught the parable of the prodigal son, and this young son went his way and spent all of his money in riotous living, and the Bible implies that he associated with a lot of people that really didn't care about him. The older brother, according to his testimony, was that this young son went away and spent all of his money with the harlots and prostitutes and all of these things that you can get involved in the far country. But there was a time when the man had money and he said, hey, be my friend. And he had a lot of friends. But one day his money went out and he found himself in the pig pen, the lowest thing that a Jew could be, a pig farmer, and he is so desperate and hungry that as he's throwing the slop out to the hogs, his stomach starts to growl. Hey, that's not so bad. I'm hungry. And he began to remember that even in my father's house, the servants ate better. But where were his friends? Why didn't his friends come along and say, hey, you gave us some good times. We're going to help you out. They weren't there. They left him in the pig pen. And a friend like that, who will get you in trouble and leave you there, is not your friend. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 17:17, he says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever had a broken tooth? You ever had a tooth that's cracked? You don't really realize that it's going to be a problem until you need it and you bite down and then it hits you and you think, well, oh, it let me down, and the pain that it caused. And he says that's the way it is with an unfaithful friend. An unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, we can learn a lot about friendship from a man like Amnon and from a friend like Jonadab. But certainly, when the Bible says that Amnon had a friend, I know that Jonadab is not the kind of friend that you need and that I need in life. And that we need to learn some lessons here about friendship, that your friends either make you or break you. You become like them. You're judged to be like them. Your friends impact more than just you, your family, and your circle of influence, and some friends will leave you in trouble when you need them. And somebody like that is not your friend. The Bible, though, clearly portrays Jesus as the friend of sinners. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. As we noted this morning, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Even while you were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he will do what you need. And he will give you advice that will not bring you shame nor disgrace, not ruin your mind, your body, certainly not your soul. And you let Jesus Christ be your friend, and you'll go to heaven when you die. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. But then in Romans chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10, we learn that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I've commanded you to do. Can you correctly state tonight that Jesus Christ is your friend? Are you on speaking terms with Him? Do you have friendship? Do you have fellowship with the Son of God? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't claim such a friendship. And certainly, as we leave this building or leave this meeting, it would give us no greater joy than to know that someone who has never obeyed the gospel decides that they would want to do that and take a stand for the Lord, take a stand against sin. Someone who is willing to repent of their sins and confess their faith in Jesus and is willing to be baptized to have their sins washed away. And then, of course, when you do that, you walk hand in hand with a friend that even sticks closer than a brother.